Welcome to Why People Believe Weird Things, where we discuss some of the reasons for weird beliefs and their costs.
Hello, I'm your host, Brian Gilmartin, and today in the studio I have Sarah Blumenstock.
Hi, guys.
And Mike Ryan.
Pleased to be here.
We have a very interesting topic today. It is why we believe weird things and the costs of those beliefs. I brought you guys in to because you guys have recently been studying weird beliefs, and I felt you would be very good contributors to this discussion. I feel that first off, our first order of business should be to define what a weird belief actually is. Weird beliefs are generally defined as claims that are logically impossible, ideas that are supported only by anecdotal evidence, and are not accepted by the general majority in that specific field. I also think weird beliefs always have a why. One of the most important whys, I believe, which is at the core of most weird beliefs, is that they provide easy answers to difficult questions. This why gives people security and makes this complex world a little bit more explainable. It gives people immediate gratification. Most questions, when answered, still leave people wanting more. This why helps people go about their lives in a way so they don't need to focus on these weird beliefs and can focus on more important issues to them.
I agree with you, Brian. People are always looking for the easy way out, the easy answer. They don't want to take the time to actually look for the difficult answer, the difficult solution. A perfect example of this would be doomsday cults. Those are a group of people that follow a very charismatic leader who promises to lead them to salvation because they believe that the world is going to end. These groups provide them with meaning and purpose for their life, something that they're always looking for, that human beings are always looking for. This is very relevant to college students, actually, because we're in a position of transition. We're feeling a little lost and confused, and we're being bombarded with all of these new ideologies and philosophies, and we don't really know what to make of it all. You know, we're away from home for the first time. We're easy targets.
I agree with that point very much. I mean, kids at college are at a very impressionable age. They don't know what's going on in their life, and they can be just caught in by cults or any other example, but they don't know what's happening.
I agree with you guys. I have actually another example. With the economic recession going on, a lot of investment bankers and other financial people are going to astrologers and soothsayers now to get their fortunes told and maybe have a little help with their financial endeavors. They do this because it provides them a sense of security. They don't have to worry so much about the future now, in that if the fortune teller says that the future is going to be bad, it's not going to be necessarily their fault that they messed up the stock market.
So they're basically looking for a scapegoat.
Basically, except it also helps them think that if it's go good, they'll have more self-confidence and maybe they'll even guess better themselves. But really, either way, the fortune teller is not really helping them at all. It's just giving them this security blanket feeling.
Yeah, I understand what you're trying to say there. Well, that basically sums up that why. Sarah, did you have anything that you came up with?
Yeah, actually, I came up with personal experience as another example. People feel that these events actually happened to them. You know, it occurred. And that is their reality. And as humans, we rely on our sensory system to experience reality. But our sensory system is faulty. You know, it can lie to us. An example of this would be pareidolia. That's where we see figures or images in objects where they aren't supposed to be. So, Jesus in your taco. Probably Jesus is not in your taco.
Yeah, I've never seen Jesus in my taco, but I definitely saw Elvis in my pancake once. But on a more serious note, I agree with you, your point you're making there, and I feel like it ties in well with near-death experiences. Most people that go through these describe them as very moving, emotional experiences, and they always go through it alone. So no one's able to dissuade them from believing it, because you can't disprove what they felt because you weren't there feeling it with them. So basically, we on the outside have no way of actually verifying what they actually felt in this experience.
Now, I agree with you two, but I think you're not taking into account the effects of memory. Your memory is not perfect. There's this thing called constructive memory, which basically means whenever you remember an event, you only really remember the major details. So if you're at a picnic, you might remember what food you had, but you're probably not going to remember if that blade of grass over there was dead or not. Instead, what happens is when you imagine this thing in your brain actually reconstructs the majority of it based on previous experiences and what you've already seen before. So, and this affects UFOs a lot, when a person sees a dot in the sky, it might not even be moving and it might be really small, but when they remember it later, they'll remember it maybe four times the size and zipping around the sky in figures, like figure eights or squares and stuff. Another big aspect with your memory is this thing called confirmation bias, and it's really relevant to the astrology example that I mentioned earlier. When people hear predictions, they have a tendency to remember anything that comes true, even if it was just a lucky guess, and to forget the things that don't come true, that are false or wrong. So basically, as these predictions are coming in and these people are hearing these predictions, they remember only the true ones, and when they forget the false ones, they have a tendency to just think that, oh, all these predictions are coming true. This fortune teller must be able to predict the future. They know exactly what happens. When the majority of the time, the fortune teller is just getting lucky, every other time is wrong.
Confirmation bias ties in really well with personal experience, actually. So does that about tie up personal experience, or do you guys have anything else to add on the subject?
No, I think we're about done with that.
All right.
All right, good. So lastly, I just wanted to add the influence of media and the role it plays on the why people believe weird things. Unfortunately, I'm not too much of an expert on the media. Do you guys know anything? Like, are you knowledgeable on the subject, Sarah?
Well, the media has a huge impact on the continuation and the spreading of weird beliefs. Because people believe what they hear. And the media focuses on the bizarre and the strange and the weird because that's what people find interesting and that's what sells.
And another thing is that people have a tendency to believe that people in the media are experts at what they're talking about. In reality, they're just journalists. They might only have a basic college degree in journalism. But when they get a story, they don't even talk to the experts. They might just talk to, oh, this person's interesting, we'll talk to them. But they're not going to verify it. So what they write, it's not what the experts believe, it's what this journalist believes.
And it's very important to note that the main purpose of the media is to make money, you know. So this is a billion-dollar industry.
That's actually a pretty good segue into the next part of our topic here. The costs, the influence on the media, it's a pretty big economic cost.
And that's what I've been thinking about. Economic cost is one of the primary reasons not to believe in weird things. The weird beliefs are a huge waste of resources. I mean, last year, people in the U.S. spent $50 million on these subliminal self-help tapes. These were tapes that you'd put in a tape recorder and then listen to it overnight. And what they purported to do would increase self-confidence, make you sleep better, or even make you smarter, which doesn't really work. But every piece of scientific literature on these things says that they don't work. They have no effect. So basically, people are spending $50 million on noise.
It's baffling to think of all that money and how it could have been spent elsewhere.
Yeah, like, there was another thing that a lot of money was wasted with this method that they used with autistic people called facilitated communication. And basically what it was is that autistic people who couldn't speak by themselves were positioned in front of this letter board, which had letters and numbers on it, and they would point at different letters and numbers to make words and sentences. And when they were pointing, their hand or arm was held by this interpreter for them, this facilitator. However, when they originally done this, they hadn't really done any studies. They just said it worked. And when they later did studies, they found out that it actually didn't work. In fact, it was the facilitator who was guiding all the words and ideas. So basically, the training for this process was pretty involved and it cost lots of money. And basically, they were just training for completely nothing except for the facilitator getting a subconscious outlet to write their own messages.
I actually heard about that. That was devastating. It had a very big cost on the society.
Yeah, I was really disturbed when I heard this story because, as you just said, the families and friends of these people with autism were devastated. It was a huge blow to them because this provided them with a false hope. You know, they thought that their loved ones were finally going to be able to communicate with them. They could say, "I love you, Mom," but it doesn't work. And an entire group of people were misrepresented, which puts it on an even greater social scale than just, you know, the individuals. And there were even accusations of rape and sexual abuse that, you know, weren't true, but were believed because of this.
Yeah, I think that's actually a really good point. Another cost is the cost of ignorance. This is a deceptively harmless cost, but it actually might be the most dangerous cost of all. This cost teaches people to ignore scientific and critical thinking, which I believe actually ties into the FC example as well, because people who believed in the FC saw that it seemed to work on this one autistic person, and everyone just jumped on the bandwagon and was like, hey, it worked once, so it seemed to work once, actually, but so it's going to work on everyone. And this caused everyone to throw their hopes and dreams behind FC, and they threw out all this scientific and critical thinking. Because later, after looking back on FC, we learned that it had no scientific proof, and it was just people wanting to believe in something.
Superstitious beliefs also tie into ignoring critical thinking and scientific thinking. They're defined as belief that a certain behavior or action will directly influence the outcome of a situation. But people only take into account the outcomes that confirm their beliefs. And we ignore the fact that statistically there are going to be coincidences. People also stop searching for other possible explanations. So they forget the steps of critical thinking.
Actually, yeah, that's a really good point. I didn't think of that before. Never heard that, actually. But ignorance actually results in more weird beliefs. It's like a vicious cycle, actually, because once you ignore one critical thinking, you're just going to end up believing in another weird belief, and it just keeps on going in this vicious circle, and it's never ending.
Another thing we haven't mentioned, actually, that I've thought of is when people put this research into these weird beliefs, they tend to stop putting research into alternatives. So like with this FC, when they started researching facilitated communication, they stopped putting research into other more valid options, like with the computers and stuff. They stopped putting research or money into that.
Actually, to this day, Syracuse University still has the Facilitated Communication Institute because the person who originally came up with the idea of facilitated communication was from Syracuse. They obviously just don't want to believe that what they were doing was a waste of time. So even after this idea has been thoroughly debunked, they keep clinging to this concept because they want to believe in it, even though the evidence just keeps piling up against it.
They should listen to this podcast.
They should.
Yeah, we do talk about ignoring scientific thinking. All right, guys, well, that's about all the time we have. Obviously, we didn't cover everything in this realm of weird beliefs, but I mean, you would probably need a whole semester for that. They should probably, like, offer a course at Dickinson College. That might work. A seminar, maybe.
I'd sign up for it.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be a very interesting seminar. All right, anyway, would you guys like to leave the audience with any concluding thoughts?
Well, my advice to our listeners would just be to question everything that you hear. Don't believe it just because, you know, some guy tells you. Make sure that person is an expert in that field. You know, don't be an easy target.
Would you jump off a bridge if someone told you to?
Exactly.
I think not.
Yeah, I'd say exactly the same thing. Basically, apply critical thinking to any claim or hypothesis that you may encounter, especially medical ones. Even though they sound official and medical and scientific, they might not be true. Just common sense. Does it make sense? Does it really come from an expert?
Has it been tested?
Exactly.
All right, those were some really good concluding thoughts, and I think we've left the audience with something to think about. Hopefully we were able to shed some light on the weird beliefs and how they can affect people, and hopefully people can benefit from this podcast. All right, thank you both for coming in, and hopefully I can have you on again. some other time.
Yeah,
thanks for inviting us.
You guys, you were great.
This has been another episode of Why People Believe Weird Things, brought to you by Professor Hedwig Larsen's first year seminar. And remember that the quality of your decisions is determined by the quality of your reasoning.